Is there attention that deserves your attention? After having my first son, my mom used to say, "Mark, if anybody seems off, or if anybody's interactions around Job seem off, don't ever leave him with that person. Trust your gut." And I'm wondering if anybody's ever said that to you. Trust your gut. You know what I'm talking about. When you're about to do something and it just doesn't quite feel right. And I'm wondering if there has been a time in your life when you have trusted your gut and then looking back thought, "Wow, I'm so glad that I made that decision." Or have there been times in your life when you have not trusted your gut and looking back thought, "Man, that was a big mistake. I should have trusted my gut." When making decisions, we sometimes experience a little tension inside of us that's bothersome. Something just doesn't seem right, and it causes us to hesitate, to pause. When someone says, "Trust your gut," what they're saying is, pay attention. When you experience this kind of tension, pay attention. Don't ignore it. Don't brush it off and act compulsively, but pause and pay attention. And this brings us to the third question of our series, Better Decisions, Fewer Regrets. And it's the conscience question. Again, is there attention that deserves my attention? If you're new with us this morning, we're in a message series based on five questions that can help us make better decisions and have fewer regrets. So far, we've talked about the integrity question, am I being honest with myself? And also the legacy question. What is the story that I want to tell about my life? Or what is the story that I want other people to tell about my life? And today, we're turning to the conscience question. Is there attention that deserves my attention? When something throws up a red flag, do I brush it off? Or do I treat it as an opportunity to think before I act so that I can do the right thing? Of course, pausing is not easy, is it? When you're in the moment, it's easy to lose perspective by getting hyper-focused by the options that are right in front of you. And it's also easy to get overwhelmed with powerful emotions, compressed timetables, peer pressure, or even our own confirmation bias. And again, these things make it very difficult to pause and to pay attention to that tension inside of us. But the wisdom of the ages tells us that we are foolish to ignore or brush off that feeling that something isn't quite right. And as Christians, we believe that this prick of our conscience, along with the opportunity to pause and think, is a gift of God's grace. We don't have to react. We can pause and think. Indeed, God often works through our conscience in the power of the Holy Spirit to guide and protect us. So we are wise to pay attention to the tension inside. When we are making decisions, if there is a hesitation, we can pause, allow that feeling to rise and speak to us, saying whatever it has to say. More specifically, if something bothers you about him, if something bothers you about her, if something bothers you about the job offer, the deal, the contract, if something bothers you about the invitation, pause. Face it. Embrace it and listen for the still small voice of God. There is a story in the Bible that illustrates the importance of this practice, and it's a story about King David that you probably haven't heard many, if any, sermons on. As many of you know, when David was a kid, a prophet named Samuel announced to his family that he would be the next king of Israel. The problem was that Israel already had a king, King Saul. And this news would have been upsetting to him, not only because Samuel was announcing a new king while he was still on the throne, but because that new king would not be his son. By choosing David, who is completely unrelated to Saul, God was planning a change of dynasty. So no one really talked about Samuel's prophecy, especially not to King Saul. As David grew up, he became a soldier in Saul's army, and his popularity came to overshadow that of the king. As jealousy grew, Saul eventually tried to kill David, but David was able to escape. And by the time that he was a fugitive, David was already a legend among the people, at least in part because of his victory over Goliath, the giant Goliath, when he was younger. So when David went on the run, hundreds of outlaws flocked to him and allowed him to build a small army of his own. After a while, King Saul got a tip that David was hiding in the desert of En-Gedi, and so he took 3,000 soldiers to hunt him down. And one day, while on this journey, he urgently had to go to the bathroom. This is in the Bible. So he told his soldiers to wait while he ducked into a cave to relieve himself. What Saul didn't know is that David and his men were hiding in the same cave. What are the odds, right? Apparently, David got word that Saul was trying to hunt him down, so he ordered his men to hide in the surrounding hills until the king and his men passed through. Then they would escape by running in the opposite direction. And everything was working according to plan until Saul got nature's call. Dismounts his mule and goes into the same cave where David and his men were hiding. Oblivious, Saul walks into the cave, takes off his robe, hikes up his outer garment, squats down, and opens a magazine. When David realizes that it's King Saul, he can't believe his eyes. The king, who's trying to kill him, is alone in the dark in a very vulnerable position. And he has no idea that David and his men, armed to a T, are right there and could easily take him out. Could this be a sign from God? David knew that God had already chosen him to be the next king, but he just wasn't sure about the timing. Could this be the moment? Was God giving Saul to David on a silver platter? Should he kill the king and take the throne? You know, these thoughts must have crossed his mind. And the Bible says this is exactly what his men were thinking. It says in 1 Samuel 24, verse 4, that the men said, "This is the day the Lord spoke of when he said to you, 'I will give your enemy into your hands for you to deal with as you wish.'" And I want you to imagine all the emotions in the cave that day. The adrenaline, the surprise, the urgent feeling to act and attack. In addition to all of this, David felt something else. He felt that something wasn't quite right, that something was off. He felt a tension that invited him to pause. But he ignored it and decided to act anyway. David took out his dagger and crept up behind the king with every intention of slitting his throat. But as he got closer, the tension intensified, and he knew in his gut that something was off. But this time, he paused and paid attention to the tension. And when he did this, he had an important insight that hit him like a bolt of lightning. I'm about to murder the king of Israel. And in his heart, he felt that something wasn't right. David knew that the same God who had declared that he would be the next king had also put the present king in power. God had put Saul on the throne. And if he was alive and well, maybe it was God's will that things stay that way, at least for now. He also knew that this was not the ideal way for him to be king. This is not the story that he wanted to tell to his children. This is not how he wanted history to record his story. Furthermore, what if the whole thing blew up in his face? The outcomes were not guaranteed. I mean, eventually, Saul's men were going to come looking for him and a battle would ensue. What if David's men were defeated? What if David himself were killed? And all of this created a tension inside of David that the Bible describes as being conscience stricken. Have you ever been conscience stricken? So right before he plunged the blade into Saul, David changes his mind and makes a different decision. Instead of killing the king, he cuts off a corner of his robe that had been discarded and placed to the side before relieving himself. Then he slowly and quietly crept back into the shadows with his men, who were staring at him in utter disbelief. They could not believe that David did not kill Saul, and they wanted to know why. And so David said to them, "The Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to my master, the Lord's anointed." And then he ordered his men to stand down. So Saul, oblivious, strolls out of the cave unharmed, with a little pep in his step. And what happens next is even more surprising. Right when Saul and his army is about to trot off into the horizon, David steps out of the mouth of the cave and yells, "King Saul!" And when Saul turns around, David bows to him, showing respect, and then holds up the corner of the robe that he had cut off in the cave. And then he proceeds to tell everyone that he could have easily killed the king, but he made a decision not to do it. And as you can imagine, Saul stood there in utter disbelief. And he was a little humiliated too, because David had shown himself in front of everyone to be the bigger man, to be the better man. He spared Saul's life when Saul would have taken his. And David ends his short speech by saying, "May the Lord judge between you and me." In other words, he's saying, "Saul, I'm going to do the right thing, the moral thing. I will not play God by taking your life, but I will let God determine the outcome of our conflict." Then he says this, "May the Lord avenge the wrongs you have done to me, but my hand will not touch you. May the Lord be our judge and decide between us. May he consider my cause and uphold it. May he vindicate me by delivering me from your hand." And at this point, David has no idea what Saul is going to do, along with his 3,000 men. But it didn't matter to David, because he paid attention to the tension inside of him. He heard God speak, and what was most important to him was obeying God, doing the right thing, no matter what the cost. Now, the ball was in Saul's court. What would he do? Well, he must have felt some tension too. He must have paused too, because he didn't fly into a rage and compulsively do what he had come to do, which was kill David. No, he took a deep breath, he ordered his men to turn around, and he headed back to Jerusalem. Now, long after this episode with David, King Saul and his army found themselves in a battle with some Philistines. And at some point, a Philistine archer launched an arrow into the sky toward the Israelites. And it just so happens that this random arrow, found a tiny seam in King Saul's armor and mortally wounded him. He didn't want to die at the hand of his enemy, and so he fell on his sword as the Israelites were rerouted. When the news reached the city, the people quickly proclaimed David to be their new king, confirming that he had made the right decision all along, and he was glad that he did. This story helps us to see the importance of paying attention to red flags. If you are about to do something that doesn't feel right, pause and pay attention. God gave you a conscience for a reason, and God often works through your conscience to speak to you, protect you, and help you to go in a different direction. So don't ignore that feeling that something is off. Don't ignore that feeling. Don't brush off the dis-ease that you feel. Rather, ask the conscience question: is there a tension that deserves my attention? Because it always goes better when you explore rather than ignore your conscience. And we know that if we honestly ask, prayerfully ponder, and intentionally act on the conscience question, we will make better decisions and have fewer regrets. I'd like to invite you to reflect on a few questions this morning so that you can begin to ask yourself the conscience question and apply it to your own life. And you might want to write these questions down on the back of your Lectio Divina sheet so that they'll be fresh on your mind whenever we turn to our service of Holy Communion. And so here's what I'd want you to do. I want to invite you to think about the last time you felt this internal tension when making an important or difficult decision. When did that happen for you most recently? And once you can kind of identify that time, I want you to ask yourself, what did it feel like? Try to recall not only the memory, but the feeling that tension created inside of you. I'm going to give you a really silly example. This is not in my notes, but I was at the Monastery of the Holy Spirit this past week on spiritual retreat, and the biggest meal of the day there is lunchtime. And I've been trying to eat a lot of protein now that I've turned 50 so that I can not lose a lot of muscle mass. And so I'm always trying to eat more protein than anything else. And I get in line, and I'm the first person in line, and there's a pan of pork chops, and there's only about 10, and I take 2. And there was a moment when I thought, something's not right with this. Don't do it, Mark. All right? Just take one. You can always go back for the second later. And I ignored it, and I took 2. And I felt bad the whole time I was eating, especially when the line emptied and a couple stragglers that I wasn't anticipating came in. I don't know if they got pork chops or not. I hope that they did, right? But the tension for me felt like guilt. It felt like I was being selfish. It felt like I was being foolish because I did have a hesitation. I did have a pause. It was very clear, but I ignored it. And maybe that's okay when it comes to pork chops, but there are other decisions that are much more consequential, right? So when was the last time it happened? What did it feel like? What feelings did it create? Did you ignore it or brush it off? Or did you pause and pay attention? And perhaps most importantly, what was the result? How did it make you feel about yourself? And how did the situation work out? Did it go well, or did it leave you with regrets, albeit a full stomach? If you are in the middle of a big decision right now, struggling with attention, maybe it's about your marriage, your dating life, your job, taking a new adventure, an invitation, a new friendship, whatever it is. If you are experiencing tension over a big decision right now, how can you pause long enough to listen for the still small voice of God? How can you pause and allow that feeling not to be diminished and repressed, but how can you let that feeling not only show up, but grow to its full capacity and say whatever it needs to say to you? And I want you to reflect on these questions when we receive communion this morning. And again, I hope that you will maybe journal a little bit on the back of your Lectio Divina sheet, or at least pray through them during that time. Hey everyone, it's Pastor Mark, and I want to thank you for tuning in. I also want to thank First United Methodist Church of Cocoa Beach, which helped make this ministry possible. If you would like to make a donation to the church, go to our church website, fumccb.com. Also, if you're in town, I hope that you will visit one of our services in person so that we'll have an opportunity to meet. May God bless you as you find your next steps in following Jesus.